And then when throughout your journey did this concept of mindfulness start coming to you and you really started adopting it? Was it later on, much later in your career?
Much later on. So I like to say my dad taught me a lot of great skill sets from a young age, those around grit and commitment and hard work, all these things that are necessary to be successful and high performing. However, it was an incomplete strategy because I burnt out very quickly, right? Mm. You can only hustle for so long. You can only be in this space where, you know, you're putting all of your effort into achieving a goal and finding yourself at the pinnacle of your success, like lost and lonely, and maybe even, you know, in a space for me where I was completely burnt out and unable to enjoy those moments. And so it was at that point in my career I realized, because I looked at myself and what I struggled with, as well as my peers, the people I was leading, and I realized I was not alone in that concept. So I needed something from self-necessity. I needed a solution.
When you burnt out, would you say, just did you have constant further goals that you were always looking towards, or was it just the day-to-day where you at and where you were at that command structure, or what got you to burn out?
It was this mental concept where I would constantly, and maybe you have experienced this, where you tell yourself things like the narrative in your head is, as soon as I achieve this goal, I will finally start taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. Or as soon as this project or this task or this degree I'm in pursuit of, as soon as I achieve that, I will finally start to pay attention to my family.
Interesting.
But what happens is, once you achieve that goal, there's always something else behind it. So then you make another deal with yourself. Well, as soon as this happens. And what happens is you end up living on this iPod in your mind where you're catastrophizing about the what-ifs of the future, you're ruminating, regretting over the past, you're so worried about what's about to happen or what just happened. You're not actually living in the spaces in between. And that's the moments where you see laughter and you see love and you see joy. You just live stressful moment to stressful moment to stressful.
So enjoying the process.
Exactly. And that's what I was missing. I was mind wandering through all the good stuff of life, and because I was so focused on those goals and meeting and achieving some level of success.
But it's still important to incorporate, obviously, those goals into and looking ahead, but just enjoying where you're at today, knowing the goal is months down the road or what have you, and just going day by day and enjoying that?
Absolutely. There is a very necessary place for goals. There's a necessary place for vision. There's a necessary place for a bit of a hustle. However, I like to use the phrase, it's an incomplete strategy without living in the moment, in the process. And so really what I'm trying to say is, we can start to accelerate our professional success without having to sacrifice our health and relationships along the way, if we just slow down. And I know that that is completely against our competitive stress culture, where we reward the go, go, go and the hustle, or we feel like we're inadequate if we're not keeping pace. So that's why I think my message is, there's some resistance to it, because people are not used to the concept of slow down to speed up. But that's really how the research and the science of performance, right, leads us down this path of, when we slow down, when we see the moments in between, that's where the greatness happens, when we're on the play button. Right? Greatness doesn't happen when we're fast forwarding and living our life inside narratives inside our head.
Seeing the greatness in the moment, how does that translate? Are you happier? Are you able to focus better? Are you able to make better decisions? How does that directly relate to being better, if you will?
So when we're in the moment, that's where we are fully present, self-aware, able to be at our best, right? Because if you're constantly worried, if you're constantly catastrophizing about the what-ifs in any scenario, you're not bringing your full self to the moment. So a lot of people can still be great without, you know, using these skill sets, but I think one of two things happen. You're either going to hit a burnout point, right? We all hit a brick wall where we cannot continue down that path any longer. So that'll happen for you. And hopefully it's not a burnout point where you lose relationships or health along the way. Or what happens is that you miss an opportunity to really see your true potential play out. Right? You can be in a high pressure moment, and if you're more inside your head instead of on that play button in the moment, you may not be bringing your full self in that space of performance.
I just had this conversation. This is like a therapy session for me, which is not the intent of this. Was it? Would you say then you're more on the offensive as opposed to I'm just taking all these punches and figuring out a way to react?
Absolutely. You focus on what you can control. Right? Most of us try to spend the majority of our time manipulating the external environment in our favor. When you let go of that, because there is no way you can completely control the external environment. So if you let go of that and instead flip the control to the internal environment, I have an absolute say in how I can command my thoughts in this moment, especially if it's in a high-pressure situation.
Interesting.
That's where you're aligned a lot more. And what we found from the study of high performers, people who are very successful and on a world-class stage or when the pressure is lives on the line, like in those moments, we find that there are a couple things that these high performers are consistent with. One of which is being on the play button in those moments instead of being inside their head, right? Worried about what just happened. Because if you're thinking about what just happened, you're definitely not going to be your best in the next moment of performance. Additionally, what we found is a lot of this work is about studying who you are, not just what you do.
What do you mean by that, who you are?
What I mean by that is, how would you describe yourself in your personal philosophy of how you live your life, and with purpose, with passion, with, you know, in a space of you truly understanding your vision for yourself in the future.
So what do you mean by that then? Studying yourself, knowing who you are, do you apply these principles differently, or you just have to understand how you process information, or I'm not connecting
the dots? You have to do the inner work. And I say it starts with these three deep questions. So actually, we'll go through this process with you.
Oh, great.
So the three deep questions I like to ask is, what do you value? Right, that's the first one. Where do you find purpose? And how do you define success? Because that sets the tone for what's important to you, where are you going, where's your vision for yourself, and really, where does the purpose for your life come from? And I think many of us get hung up on more of what we do and our identity being tied to that.
Like a job or...
Exactly. And being in a uniformed occupation, which I spent most of my career in, you can very much get tied to the identity of I'm a pilot. But here's the thing. Eventually, we all will take off those uniforms. And if we don't know who we are without the uniform, we can feel very lost. Additionally, going back to those... these critical skill sets of high performers is when they're in a moment of high pressure or competition where they're having to show up in that world-class way, if they're not aligned who they are to what they're doing, right, there's also going to be some dissonance in their performance. So that's why many times people end up in life and just all of a sudden look around and say, how did I get here? This is not what I meant for my life or what I wanted to do, because they never answered those deep questions for themselves, understood who they were, and then let the doing follow from that.
So do you think then, let's talk about the military specifically, like you led a, and we'll get into what you did, but leaders in general, good ones, do you think they have a strong desire to lead? Do you think there's something inside them, they're aligning themselves with a desire to lead? Whereas some people may not want to be in a leadership position?
There's definitely some of that that happens. I think it's how you define leadership. See, I see leadership as the ability to influence. So even the youngest airman can be a leader.
Interesting.
Because they have the ability to influence people in their 3-foot circle, right? Those that are closest to them. And so
that's a great response.
Right? Just because you have that position of authority does not necessarily make you a leader. And then I think going back to the purpose and this definition of who you are, I think people who truly know that their purpose is to impact others will become those leaders, especially the leaders we need today.
Interesting. So when in your military journey did this kind of start to sink in-ish, hit you?
So it was about halfway through my career where I looked around one day and just felt like I had everything I ever wanted, but I still lacked joy.
Did you have kids at the time?
I had one child at the time. I had a great marriage. My husband was also, you know, a military member. I was achieving everything that I thought I wanted out of my military career, yet I still felt, you know, lost and disconnected.
Do you know what that lost was?
I think it was a lack of the focus on the self-care aspect. I wasn't really, it wasn't developed in me in the military culture at the time. It, to do that slowing down, to focus on the things I needed to do to make sure I was prepared to be the leader that I wanted to be. And so one of the things we talk about and train in the programs I use, especially those within high-stress occupations, is this idea that we need to equally, with intention, focus on training our bodies to prepare for the challenges that are in front of us, train our craft to be experts, right, at whatever our job is, but also train our minds.
Interesting.
And for many years, I just focused on the first two. That's the military culture, is to focus on the first two. And when I did my dissertation work, which was at the same time I kind of had my burnout point and I needed a solution for myself, and I realized it was universal, a lot of people needed the solution, I really figured out this mental skill space was an untapped resource.
Interesting.
That we didn't focus on. Like, if you were lucky enough to have somebody in your life that had heard of mindfulness or meditation or yoga or some type of this idea of disconnecting yourself from your thoughts, especially unhelpful thoughts, and keeping constructive thoughts in your mind.
That's my problem.
Yeah, right? Like, if
negative thoughts.
And if nobody teaches you how to do that, right? It's a natural human tendency to let the negative thoughts come in and drive
our behavior. It's an exercise. It's a constant practice, an exercise. I don't want to say a muscle, but exercising something within you to retrain the way you think, or what is it
You're training your attention system.
Training your attention system.
Because your attention system will pay attention and focus, right, where you tell it to most of the time. However, you've read a book, right, and got to the bottom of the page and then thought, I don't even remember what I just read. Right? Or maybe you've driven your car somewhere, and then you think, you're driving home. So it's a route that you take a lot of different, a lot of days. You may drive home and then not even remember, right, the route you took or how you got there or what happened. And it's because you're having an off-task thought during an ongoing task or activity. You are telling your brain, focus on driving home. You're telling your brain, focus on reading the page in the book. But our brains are fantastic at mental time travel, so they're going to chase thoughts. And then the research will tell us the majority of the thoughts that pop into our head in our culture today are stressful thoughts, are thoughts of worry, are thoughts of unhappiness. So when we mind wander away from the task we're trying to focus on, we tend to go toward those negative thought patterns. And the latest research will tell us that happens about half of our waking moments. So half your day, you're mind wandering and distracted. And then the majority of that time, you're thinking about unpleasant things. So when you wonder, like, why are people so unhappy? Why aren't people thriving in their lives? Why are people struggling to find joy? It's because our attention systems are being distracted toward these negative thoughts. So that's really what mindfulness training does, is it trains your attention system to stop chasing thoughts and instead live more in the moment. Because in the moment, we can see what's happening in front of us. We can gain perspective. We can gain self-awareness. Because it's not to say that I still don't find myself overwhelmed at times, or I still don't find myself making an emotional overreaction to something, even though I train this and practice it. I do. I have two small children, right? Like a new puppy. Like, I do. But I have more self-awareness where I can catch myself in the moment, right, starting to be over emotional, and I can use some skill sets to bring myself back.
So what would you say to somebody just starting out? How do you get started in this?
First, you have to realize this is not a quick fix. This is not a life hack. And if anyone ever tells you that mindset skills are quick and easy and you can do it once and then you're completely, right, focused and undistracted, like, that is not possible. These require commitment. They require, you have to be deliberate in your training. And it's just like, you wouldn't expect to just do a couple physical push-ups and then be like, oh, I'm so amazing and look at my muscles. You have to do multiple, right? Consistent levels of practice of those push-ups. It's the same thing with your mental skills. You have to do the mental push-ups with your attention system, and you have to do them consistently so that you can see the benefits. And the more you do those mental push-ups, the more not only awareness will you create about when you get distracted, but you will be able to hold your attention in the moment for longer periods of time.
So how did you change as a leader, and not just in a position of authority, but leading airmen and maybe other pilots and whatnot, once you started practicing this? I mean, did you see a shift in yourself?
Absolutely. And I think the key to leadership is leading by example. And one of the greatest, conversations I would have with people in my life at that moment is that even though when I had my burnout, I had a lot of stress in my life, but then flash forward to when I was leading teams. Now I have, you know, more kids. I have more responsibility. I actually was commanding a unit in New Jersey while my husband was commanding his own unit in New Mexico. So I was doing this as a, you know, single parent.
And the kids were with you?
The kids were with me. Now, full disclosure, I had an au pair. I wouldn't have been able to manage everything. But, you know, there were a lot of moments where the people on my team would be like, how are you able to be the calm in the storm? Because most leaders, right, when things get stressful, most leaders kind of create the storm in their environments. And a lot of people I worked with were very interested to learn more about how I was able to manage and optimize the stress. And so your example is super powerful.
So this one, you were in your command time at this point, mm-hmm. and you had already have been practicing this. And when you were practicing it, was it to be a more effective leader? Was it just to be more calm? What was your reasoning for starting this kind of, doing the mental push-ups as you, or the, you know?
Mm-hmm. All the above, if I can say all the above. But honestly, when I went to work on my dissertation, and I was really at a point in my life where I felt like, why is life so hard? Hmm. Right? Why can't I find a path where I can be a high performer and still find happiness? Hmm. Right? As I looked around, even at leaders above me in the military, I saw a lot of very successful people who were unhappy. I saw a lot of unsuccessful people who have broken marriages, who don't have good relationships with their kids, who are sleeping in their offices and not very healthy, right? Or, you know, retiring from the military and having heart attacks. So that was, you know, when you look at the people that you're supposed to be emulating or wanting to have their job someday, I felt like there was this pathway that was aligned for most people in the military that didn't look very appealing. And so that was the goal with my research and work, was to figure out first, A, I needed to know there was a path that was more appealing and where you could still be successful in a high stress type of occupation. And then B, what was that path and how could I capture it?
High stress, but also just high time demanding. Because I'm sure that time, even if some days weren't as stressful, just the sheer time commitment alone is a lot.
Sure.
And then the family life. So how did you juggle? I mean, learn to juggle the kids and the family life and the work life. I mean, besides some of the mindfulness practices, but what were some of the lifestyle choices, decisions you had to make?
So I described to you 50% of our day, right, we're mind wandering. So just think of that at face value for a second in two ways. First, how much time is wasted thinking about things that you really have no control over? Hmm. Right? Have you ever had something happen? Okay, maybe it was an interaction with someone that you didn't show your best self. So, you know, you're a little bit like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or oh, I'm really upset about that interaction. And then the next morning you wake up and you have a pit in your stomach about it again. Mm-hmm. And then later that day, the pit in your stomach, you feel it again. And now you're kind of like, wait, what was I upset about? Like, I feel it. I feel that I should be upset about something, but I kind of can't remember, right? And so your mind will continuously distract you in this way. So first, just think about how much time is wasted with unhelpful thought patterns. Then, you know, secondly, you know, are we building the most constructive thought patterns in our mind to help us, right, be successful in these moments? So it's not just, it's about quieting the unhelpful thoughts and then replacing them with the right type of thoughts. And so it's those two practices together that, for me, really helped me live more in the moment. And so I get some people will say, I barely have time to do the things I need to do in my day. How am I going to do mental push-ups? But my answer is those mental push-ups will actually create more white space.
Interesting.
Right? Because you're not distracted and mind wandering as much. So that's what I found in my success as a leader, is that I could do things like when someone would come into my office, I didn't feel this intense, like, I got to keep typing on an email while they're talking to me. Because a lot of people, I think, have experienced that with their bosses.
You're in meetings and you see half the people.
Exactly. We're still on our phones.
Interesting.
So when you learn how to be more efficient and productive with your mental space.
That's it.
It really changes your experience. So that's how I was able to do it. And, you know, little things like, you know, I'll pick up my kids from school. We'll pull into the garage when we get home. I send them inside and then I'll just do a mindful minute before I walk inside. Because we spend a lot of time not living where our feet are planted. Right? Like when we're at work all day, you think about, oh, I'm messing up all this stuff with my kids.
This is so true.
And then you're at home with your kids, and instead of being present with them at the dinner table, you're thinking about all the things you're missing out or messing up at work. So really the skill set is just live where your feet are planted, and this training, it's not easy to do. So you have to do the training in order to condition your mind and your attention system.
Okay, I'm ready. I'll start now.
You want to start?
No, in a second, but I do want to start. And I mean, quick side note, caveat, you know, life was totally good. I mean, life is great. I'm very blessed. But 2 years ago, started this podcast. It was like, hey, business is really good. I have a lot of time on my hands-ish. I want a passion project. I want to give back to the veteran community. It's always kind of been my passion. And my, you know, this podcast is my silly way of giving back. I mean, I've had people say, hey, we saw one of your podcasts. We went back to college to get our degree. We left our job and started a business because we watched your thing on Entrepreneur. So it's making an impact in my small way, and it's for me, and I love it, and I like it. So 2 years ago, we launched kind of season one, and then the pandemic. So overnight, I lost, literally, I wake up June 1 of 2020, and I lose 37% of my revenue in my business. Simultaneously, the podcast is growing. I'm 3 months into podcasting. I couldn't even spell podcasting prior. I had no clue what I was doing. You know, we just passed 800,000 total views, downloads on everything. So the podcast has taken off. My business is crumbling. I'm homeschooling my son. My world, well, I mean, you know, you know, my problems, right? Everybody has their own problem. I'm not complaining or anything. And, you know, my world came crashing down, and I just felt like I've been on the, you know, defensive, kind of just whatever comes at you and then not going on the offense. I'm just rambling now, but the point is, yes, I need to get something like this in my life like yesterday.
And this is an offensive strategy.
What do you
right?
mean?
It's when you say training your mind is like preparing for the adversity and the challenge we're going to face, because that's not going to go away.
Right.
Right? Like stress, I think people need to really realize that stress is a perceived emotion. It's the internal calculation your mind does when you're faced with some type of stimulus as to whether you have the internal resources to meet the demands of the moment. So if your brain goes, this is too much for me, based on maybe a story it's telling yourself, or maybe it's because so many things are coming at you, so you automatically assume, I can't do this, that is what's going to happen. You are going to experience higher levels of stress. But if you change the dialogue in your head and you say, this is actually a moment I've prepared for. This is not as big of a deal as I'm making it out to be, right? And you use the right type of thought patterns, and we, you know, we teach confidence training, we teach optimism. You know, these are all things you can train in conjunction with mindfulness to really quiet the mind and then replace it with the right kinds of thoughts.
Is this an experience thing too? Like if they took you as a young, you know, lieutenant, and they said, try to teach all this to you at that time, would you have been receptive, do you think? Or do you feel you had to go through maybe many years of more training in the military to be more receptive to this? Or does age experience not really come into play here?
From my personal experience, I will say when I was in pilot training, I did take a yoga class. And I remember laying in Shavasana and thinking, this is the biggest waste of my time. I just want to get up and leave. Like, why am I stuck here? And then it was like incessant loop where I couldn't get out of it. I just kept telling myself, this is the worst thing ever. Why am I laying here? I need to be doing other things. There's all these things on my to-do list.
Right.
And it was just, I wasn't understanding the concept of what we were doing. So I was not ready for it at the time. But it was also, you know, like we kind of started the conversation around like where did mindfulness come from and it's having its moment now and 20 years ago, why was it not a thing? And I think it's because the messaging around mindfulness, and to some degree it still is this idea of, you know, learn how to be more compassionate for yourself, right? Like learn how to just like take space and breathe and stay calm. And mindfulness is this idea that you're going to create loving kindness for yourself and others. And to me, as an operator, that message doesn't resonate. So that's not how I train mindfulness. I tell someone, do you want to be badass at what you do? Do you want to be better at what you do? Right? Let's figure out the who you are and instill some of these skill sets around taking deep breaths, slowing down a little bit to accelerate your performance and professional success.
Interesting.
Let's train your mind. And more people are receptive to that aspect of mindfulness training. But you still get...
Because they can apply it directly to their whatever they're doing and hopefully advance and get better.
Exactly. Exactly. And that can correspond to your life as a parent, right? We all want to be better parents. We all want to be more present parents. We all want to be better spouses. We all want to be better at whatever our job is, right? We want to be better entrepreneurs. And if I tell you, you waste so much mental space with distraction, and these skill sets and the act of training your mind will give you an offensive strategy, right, to face adversity, challenge, see it in a new and different way, and actually accelerate your performance in those moments. People resonate with that, right? You're like, heck yeah.
Because, well, and that kind of like how I started this podcast to say it's kind of mindfulness, kind of this term. It's like, I'm an entrepreneur. Like, what does that even mean? It's like, you Google mindfulness. Okay, I'm in the moment. Okay, well, what? Like, I got a business to run. I'm a single dad. What does that mean to me where I could go on the offensive because I'm tired of just getting kicked in the throat and responding for the past 2 years?
Yeah. Well, that brings up a great point. Most of us would describe the last 2 years as surviving, right? I just survived. But here's the thing about how our brains work. That is what happens when we're faced with extreme amounts of adversity, challenge, stress, right, in our world. Our brain does this internal calculation through our amygdala, which is our emotional response center of our brain. It's actually tied to our primitive brain, right? Like that was still a part of our brain when cavemen were running away.
That where fight or flight
tigers.
Is?
Exactly. It's our fight, flight, or freeze-like response.
Interesting.
So that stress response may have gone off when we were running from saber-toothed tigers at one point in our history. And with our ancestors. Now today, that same stress response goes off when you're on the phone with the cable company or you're in traffic, right? Like we feel like it's a life or death situation, but it really is not, right? Because that's what chronic stress will do to us. So this idea of training our minds can really help us live more, you know, on that play button, live more in the moment, and really find that high-performing space for ourselves.